You have tuned in to the microphone.
Welcome back. Don't touch that dial just yet. You guys are in for a treat today. My guest today, you know him, you love him. It's Miguel, a DJ here in Buffalo, New York, from a little radio station called Kiss 98.5. We get into some behind the scenes of being a DJ, some behind the scenes of myself being a photographer. We talk about today's music. We trade stories about going downtown on good old Chippewa Avenue in Buffalo and even across the border in Canada. I also answer the question, what is the craziest thing you've ever done? This and more on the microphone, episode 005, your number one hit podcast station. All right, this is episode 005 of the microphone. I'm here with Miguel.
What's up?
And Miguel, you might know from a local radio station in Buffalo called Kiss 9.5. You can still hear him. When can they hear you?
Sunday afternoon, same time as the Lord.
10 to 2.
10 to 2, man.
All right.
Before you go to church and when you get out.
Yeah, there you go. So how long? So I met you what, 18 years ago?
Something
like that. Are we that old?
Yeah, I think we are at this point.
So how did you get started with communications? I guess.
Well,
what you would call it.
When I first went away to school for college, I was a business marketing and Spanish major. And I came home after 2 years of playing soccer at Lake Erie, and I was working at a coffee shop in my hometown of Medina, and this old lady told me that I'd have a perfect voice for radio. This is dead serious.
Yeah.
Just making her coffee, cashing her out. She's like, you'd have a great voice for radio. And I was like, all right, thanks. And I switched my major. I
went because of that one comment.
Because of the one comment, went to NCCC in the fall semester as a communications major, and got the job working at Entercom, basically the company that owns Kiss, and
right.
In promotions. And once I started working for the morning show, I sort of fell out of the college thing and just stuck with the radio thing.
What year was that?
That was early 2000s, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. So that was right when
01, 02 maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I think 01, 02.
So, but it was our mutual friend Nicole,
yeah,
who got me the job in promotions, which
yeah,
led
that had to be 01, 02 then.
Yeah, which led to the on air stuff with the morning show, which took off, and then I ended up not finishing school with the communications degree because I was already doing the
thing. I don't even think nowadays degrees are overrated.
Yeah.
In college.
Yeah.
It's like
they were so important back in the day. Everybody was like, you have to finish school, and
yeah.
Now it's like you don't even have to go. You can teach yourself all this stuff online.
When I went to school, it was I'm going to be a computer science major because everything, you got to get a job in computers. And then I'm in a lab, and I'm a freshman, and I'm doing lines of code, and I'm looking over and I see a senior doing lines of code, and I'm like, this is not fun at all. And then I changed my major to management information systems, which I still to this day, I'm never going to do anything in that.
Okay.
And, I ended up doing that. I changed majors, went to Fredonia, played soccer there, and then transferred to University of Buffalo, graduated there. So changing majors and transferring made me do 5 years of college. I'm still paying student loans
right,
to this day.
Right, and you're not even doing anything that...
No.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, the only thing is, like, all the jobs that I've got and received offers for, a degree was required.
Right.
But nowadays, it's like even the big ones like Google, Apple, Facebook, like you don't need a degree to, it's not a requirement anymore. You just need experience.
Yeah. As long as you can prove to them that you can carry the workload and know what you're doing.
Yeah.
They'll just bring you along.
Yeah.
Can we just clear, like, we're in my living room, in my apartment, so
yeah,
when you hear, if you hear cars or a dog.
Yeah, we're going for it.
In the background, like, that's just what's going on.
This is, like we said before, someday we're going to look back at this and be like, this is the early days. of just setting up wherever we can.
Yeah.
And it took us, what, like a half hour to set up because I couldn't get my clamps to work on the table?
It took you a half hour.
It took me,
I've just been sitting back with this whiskey, just like pretending like I'm helping.
I might take a small glass soon.
Yeah.
I'm drinking my Starbucks right now.
You were so dedicated to getting this coffee. And another thing that everybody listening should know is that the only reason Micah wanted to do this podcast is to get his umbrella back from a wedding we worked with each other.
I completely forgot about that. Okay, so yeah, this actually came up because I can't remember the last time I saw you. So I do photography along with my wife, and I was doing a mutual friend of ours' wedding, Eric.
Yep.
Eric Holler, and I was a photographer, Miguel was the DJ, and that was cool how that worked out. I was like knowing who the DJ is. And then I'm like, yo, I just started a podcast. You should be honest, since you know you're a master in front of the mic, so you know what you're doing. And it was like a torrential downpour that day, and I had my umbrella there, and I left it under the DJ table.
Yeah, you were.
And so now this podcast has accomplished my goal of getting my umbrella back.
So thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, I think we're
that's
done.
That's been episode 005.
Yeah, exactly. So briefly, you talked about you've met a lot of, you know, musicians, obviously, that come in the area for concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
And they always have to stop through.
Yeah.
Tell me that Kanye West story again.
All right.
I know you touched on it a bit, but.
So easily, out of all my years at the radio station, the greatest story that I one of them, well, it is the greatest. I have a lot of experiences, but we were at Kiss the Summer Hello. It was the last year at the pier, and it rained all day long, like from beginning to end, like the show was just a mess. But before then, I was at home watching when MTV still played music videos, right?
Right, right.
So this is when his first single, Through the Wire, came out off the College Dropout album. And I saw the video, and I'm like, man, this song is phenomenal. Like, just watching the video, like, couldn't wait to hear it again. Just thought it was great. So it just so happens that same day, my buddy Kevin that I worked with at the radio station called and was like, we need a hip-hop act for Kiss the Summer Hello. He was with our program director at the time.
And so like, Kiss the Summer Hello is various artists?
Yes.
It's not just one, right?
Yeah, like four or five.
A lineup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each artist plays for
He wasn't the biggest one, though?
No, that
year?
Not that year.
Who was the biggest one?
It was...
What was it focused on?
Man, I can't tell you who the headliner was. But I know Jay Kwan was there and William Hung from American Idol.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She bangs?
Yeah, she bangs.
Wow.
But, like, I don't even think I stuck around that year for the headliner. I think I was gone before
then. Wonder who it was. LFO?
It might have been. I mean, we could probably look it up, but I just can't remember. But so I brought up Kanye West. I was like, I just heard this song. I think it's great, blah, blah. So they looked into it, and we ended up booking him. And so at the time we booked him, Kanye wasn't big at all, so it was cheap. By the time he comes to Kiss the Summer Hello, he takes off. And, you know, he's this big deal. So it was like a huge thing for us that we have this guy on this platform that's blowing up just in time for this show. So he performs, he does his thing. And like I said, it was a rainy day all day long. And that's key to the story because I get a call while I'm in the crowd from Kevin saying, the meet and greet for Kanye is now. If you want to meet him, you have to get backstage right away. So I just start racing through the crowd to get to where the backstage was. As soon as I get back there, Kanye has the biggest bodyguard I've ever seen in my life. And all he keeps saying on repeat is, nobody touches Mr. West. You've been in the rain all day. You're wet. Nobody touches Mr. West. And he says it to everybody who comes by as he pats them down. So as soon as I get through, Kanye's standing behind this guy and he goes, what's up, man? And he slaps me up and gives me this huge hug. And all I can think of is the next thing that's going to happen is this bodyguard just going to grab me and throw me out.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be like looking like this punk in front of everybody. So nothing happens. And Kanye never lets go of my hand. So we're sitting there like dapped up. And we take a photo, a couple of them. I say something about one of the lines from his songs, which he mentions Tribe Called Quest, who's my favorite hip-hop group of all time.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, he's like, I love Tribe Called Quest. That's why I put it in there. All this other stuff. He goes, is there anything I could sign for you? I'm like, whatever you want. So he signs my Kiss the Summer Hello pass. He signs my t-shirt with the signature bear at the time that he had the dropout bear.
Yeah.
And he slaps me up again, gives me another hug, and just tells me that it was great to meet me. And I was like, dude, it was an honor to meet you. And I still have the shirt, still have the pass, and still have the photo all to go along with the story.
What year was that? Approximately.
That was, man, I don't know. That was probably, here, let me look. I knew you were going to ask me something like that.
Yeah, something that you have to look up.
But that was obviously early 2000s too, because I was still fresh to the game.
Now how many security guards did he have?
It was the one that I remember.
Because nowadays it's probably an entourage of security, I would assume.
2004 is when the album came out.
2004.
Yeah. So it was that was the first album, and then obviously we know where he is these days. So, but that hands down, like once that happened for me, out of all the Kissmas bashes, which is our winter concert, and the Kiss the Summer Hellos, sometimes there's like, I have the opportunity to meet all the artists we bring. And sometimes it's just like, it's never going to match that. Like,
it won't.
It isn't.
Like, and as much as either people love or hate him, he's on top.
Yeah. So, you know, I met Marshmello at this past year's Kissmas
with his
bash.
Mask off?
No, with the eye. Which is so really? Suspect, man. It's really? So suspect.
Is there like a screen or like you can see his eyes or anything? Like what he's looking like?
You can barely
one way?
See through it, but there's definitely a screen where he can
do
like
people know what he,
him.
Do people know what he looks like?
There was some rumors going around backstage of like what he looked like and not, but nobody ever told the same one, so I don't know. And I've never ever looked into it. Like, it's not that big of a deal to me. It's just the fact that this guy is one of the highest paid DJs in the world from that gimmick. It's just like, why did I
so
think of
nuts.
Something like Deadmau5? With
Deadmau5,
the mouse,
with the mouse, and then Sia with her bangs.
Yeah
it's like, I think there's pictures, obviously there's pictures of her all over the place. I don't know if she even tries to hide it anymore.
Not as much. I mean, she's too successful now that it's just like, I think it might be just a music video and on stage thing now. So
were there any, artists that came through that were kind of like, there was a lot of hype around it and then ended up kind of being underwhelming or like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what your worst experience is.
I haven't had a bad one.
Yeah. Everyone's been pretty cool. They probably have to be, right? Because they're coming to promote.
No, not everybody's cool.
Okay, that's where I'm getting at.
Yeah, not everybody's cool. But I think the one thing that a lot of people don't understand is the market that we're in Buffalo, we're like a midway point of bigger cities.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that these artists aren't cool. I guess I would say is that when it comes for our winter shows and our summer shows, they're on other bills too. So if they're doing a show in Boston, they might stop in the next night and do Buffalo and have to go to like another bigger city the next day. So they just pop in and pop out. So like, They're not here to hang out.
Yeah,
they're on the move. Like I'm gonna fly in.
Buffalo's a quick stop for a lot of them.
Yeah, we're gonna do this 20 minutes, and then I'm gonna get on the next plane out because I have, you know, like let's say Chicago or Miami or something.
Like
a
bigger market.
Yeah, so it's I wouldn't say nobody hasn't been cool. It's just like they're just on the go and they don't have time to like mingle, and they're never gonna be your friend. Yeah. You're not going to stop him in the hallway and be like, dude, I you like t-shirts? Yeah, me too.
We got something in common. Yeah, I don't know what it is yet, but we're going to figure this out.
Yeah, so it's like even at the meet and greets, their manager is like, all right, girls, you're up.
Yeah.
Next. Yep. And they're just in
it's
and
like
out.
It's like clockwork.
Yeah, so.
Man.
Yeah, it's interesting, the behind the scenes. But we do get, the majority of the acts are like young up and comers, and they are really friendly. Like the Kiss the Summer Hello we just had, they a lot of the artists stuck around and like made friends and supported each other, and were on the side of the stage watching the shows. And like that's fun to see that like something in Buffalo can bring them together and show that kind of love for each other. So it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. You see a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'm more of a in the crowd, drinking a beer, watching the show kind of guy.
Right,
backstage
right.
isn't for me.
Yeah. I mean,
too hectic.
It's probably really appealing to a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
People want to be... You know, as soon as they're in that meet and greet, they want to get their picture. They want to meet them. They want to have some kind of, hey, like something in common. You're right.
And it's wild to see people cry over the artist that they love and just be like, there's nothing in my life that I feel way about. And I wish I did.
And they're probably aged 10 to 16.
Maybe even a little older, man.
Yeah, I mean, with the boy bands rounds again, I'm sure there's a lot of 35 to 45 year old women crying in the crowd.
Some married woman's losing it over NKOTB.
Oh my God, yeah.
Joey McIntyre
guarantee you it happens.
Has her heart.
I guarantee that happens.
Oh, that would be great.
I mean, that's happened for the longest time. Like, when you look at those old videos of the Beatles and how insane those girls were.
Yeah.
But nowadays, there's so much more access to everything, so maybe people cry a little less, but maybe not.
Yeah.
But that's wild how emotional people get.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, just to sit back and be like, man, I don't think I feel that way about anything, but good for that person.
And then they get tattoos of like the logo of Marshmallow's face. I guarantee you, if we Google Marshmallow tattoos, there's going to be tons of them.
Yep.
And I'll never understand.
That relate to them, you know what I mean? Like, they have them all over, like arms and sides and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's nuts to see some of that stuff when you're backstage at some of these shows.
Is there, I'm trying to think, if there was any other memorable artists that, were smaller but then, blew up. Like, it wasn't as... You know, no one was really that excited. I mean, people were excited, but someone came through oh, okay, nice to meet you. You know, they got a few fans and now they've blown up. Is there anyone else that's done
that? This one is the easiest, hands down, Shawn Mendes.
Oh, wow.
The guy that's dating Camila Cabello right now.
I remember hearing about him, but he wasn't really that, that popular.
Well, he was a YouTube star doing cover songs and how he got his fame. And then
Bieber got...
Yes, Bieber was a YouTube star too, and Usher brought him along, and then the whole Scooter Braun thing. So, but Shawn Mendes, 2004 for me was Kanye.
Right.
To this day, nobody has gotten the ovation as this kid has when he walked out on the Kissmas Bash stage. I've never heard noise that loud.
He looks very common. Like, he doesn't have a superstar look to him, in my opinion. Like, when you look at him, it's like, if I saw him and he was just dressed like, I don't know, normal, not like a musician, I don't know. I mean, I might recognize him because I keep up to date as much as I can.
He's just a good-looking kid.
With talent.
Yeah, and, dude, I just remember... walking through the crowd with him walking. I just so happened to be walking back to backstage when he came on the stage, and my clothes were vibrating from the screams of the girls.
Jeez.
I've never felt or heard anything like that to this day. It was
wild.
Yeah.
I wonder if they get sick of it.
Them?
I think they probably get numb to it. Maybe. Maybe they're not numb to it the first few years, but I wonder if at some point...
I think... behind the scenes, yes, but that adrenaline that comes
when
you walk out there, it changes everything. And I think that, when you see an artist walk up to the mic and they're smiling, I think that's what, that energy the crowd gives them is what makes it worth it compared to what you might see on, behind the scenes on the bus or their planes or whatever.
Yeah, I think I've definitely heard that a lot with musicians, just random documentaries. And, it's tiring. It's an insane schedule, but once I get out there and those fans are depending on me to perform, then it makes it all worth it, and they just do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's crazy, but that's the one that he was he hadn't really blown up yet, but he was right there, and I'll never forget the sound.
Wow.
Like, it's just not to this day have I heard it like that before, in what now is KeyBank Arena. So
yeah.
Crazy.
Is it KeyBank?
KeyBank Arena, yeah. Yeah. That it's been everything.
Yeah.
It's been through every
bank. Do you remember when it was Marine Midland?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the oldest one. Well, actually, you know the Odd, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I saw... So we're in Buffalo, so we don't have an NBA team.
I wish.
But I did get to see Michael Jordan play at the Odd in like 1994 when I was in seventh grade.
That's crazy.
So they were doing like a tour kind of thing. It was like exhibition, like preseason type stuff. The Bulls were playing the Sacramento Kings. What was the guy in the Kings? A short guy. Spud? Was this Spud Webb? No.
No.
There was a short guy on the Kings, wasn't there? Not Muggsy Bogues from the Hornets. There was another one, I thought. Was it Spud Webb?
Spud Webb was with the Hawks.
With the Hawks.
Maybe it was.
Maybe I'm thinking, I don't know.
Maybe it was at the end of his career and he was on the team.
I'll have to fact check that after this. Maybe that'll be my new thing, fact checking. Because like all my other podcasts have just been like stories from childhood. But yeah, I remember I was asking my dad, I'm like, I really want to go. Michael Jordan was like my hero, even though I played basketball, but I wasn't like going to be, you know, playing in college or anything. I just liked Michael Jordan. I had Michael Jordan posters all over my wall. Who just didn't? Like tons of other. I got Michael Jordan just sneakers on right now.
Yeah.
I got some retro ones from StockX.
Yeah.
But I remember I told my dad, I'm like, I'll do my math homework at the game. Because I was very, very studious like in junior high, high school. I was on the honor roll every single semester from seventh grade till I graduated.
Good for you.
Yeah. And now look at me now.
Yeah. Sitting here in my living room.
Sitting here, yeah. I brought my math homework and I wrote a letter to him. And I'm like, I'll give it to a janitor. I'm like picturing it all like a movie in my head. Like a janitor will find the letter. And then he'll find it while he's cleaning up. I was just going to like leave it on the floor. He's like, what's this?
Yeah, and Michael Jordan just so happens to be the last one out like, of the locker room. And he's like, hey, Mike, here you go.
And I wrote on there and I'm like, I don't play basketball. I play soccer, but we got the same number. But I was number 9. Right. And I'm like, this is your USA Olympic jersey number. And I go, congratulations on winning the championship, whatever it was. I'm like trying to be all cool with them. And then I took up too much space on the paper, like the old, you know, like the red line down the side for the margin.
Right.
And then I'm writing like vertical because I'm running out of room. And I'm like, he's never going to read this. And I just like held on to it. I never gave it to him. Didn't give it to him. But
I would love for one day for you to run into that old piece of paper somewhere.
Oh, man, that'd be crazy. Yeah. I do have pictures, though. I had a regular camera, film camera.
Dude, I never knew that happened. Well, I'm from Medina, so like,
yeah,
word of stuff like that didn't get to out to the country.
Takes
you know?
A day or two.
Yeah. We had to wait for the pigeons to fly in with the notes,
exactly.
Game of Thrones, the crows, and
pass you know, I DJed a dance in Medina when I was 14.
Where
I worked for a music store in Tonawanda called AAA Music.
Okay.
And I was in there because I would play guitar. I went through so many phases. So I like had an electric guitar and I was in there. And this guy was like, hey, do you want a job? And I'm like, sure. And I'm like 14, just like odds and ends type stuff. And he's like, hey, do you want to go? My wife and I, we DJ school dances.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go to this one? And I went to one in Medina.
Nice.
And I think I had hair like down to like right below my chin. That was my Nirvana phase.
Whoa, Nirvana.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I have a lot of buddies that went through that phase.
Oh, man. But I went through that phase without really going through that phase. Like,
yeah. I was just a fan of the music. I wasn't crushed when Kurt Cobain was died.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, I still listen to some of the albums to this day.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
It's just great music. So
yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's another thing I was going to talk to you about was like with radio industry as itself, like I barely ever listen to the radio because I listen to podcasts mostly, but if I'm gonna listen to music, I'll just skip around and I'll go to Kiss, I'll go to like the Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to the Edge, it's all the music I listened to like 10-15 years ago.
Metallica, Bush,
yeah, everything comes Green on Day. Like Pearl Jam comes on, Nirvana, and I'm like, just it's just nostalgic, so I listen to it. And I wonder if that's just always going to be considered alternative rock, right?
Yeah,
it's never going to change to the new classic rock. Because I think classic rock will always be 60s, 70s.
Yeah, because
right?
I mean, one of the conversations that I like to have with people when you figure out what type of music that they're into is at what point are the artists that you grew up with that you absolutely love, do you ever think that that'll fade away? Or do you think that when you pass it on to your children, that some of those songs will still stick around as they get older and that maybe they'll pass it down? Or do you think you'll just get lost in the shuffle with what they grow up with?
I don't know. I don't think that'll happen as much going forward. It definitely happened with when I was younger. I would listen to classic rock, and like my dad would look at me, and I'm like, I know all the lyrics to like this Led Zeppelin song.
Right.
Like, it would be a trip if all of a sudden my daughter, she grows up, she's like singing a Nirvana song, and I'm like, I'd be tripping out. Yeah. That'd be so crazy.
But there's going to be a time when she's in the car with you and something like that comes on. She's going to hear you singing and how you react to that. And then she's going to be like, Dad, play that song that you liked earlier. And it might become one of her favorite songs, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but I've always wondered, like, you know, like you said, like, is that alternative rock just going to always be alternative rock, or will it shuffle somehow into classic rock, which I don't think it will.
I don't think it'll never receive that title, a different title, I don't think.
Yeah, and nowadays, like...
rock now, right now, is just rock?
Yeah.
Like, there's
It's not much off what we used to grow up. It might be... Some of it might be a little poppy, but at the same time, it's still along the same lines. I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just always wonder, when it comes to like rap music for me, is there ever going to be a day where like Biggie won't be as relevant to some people as he is to like to certain people? And because some of the hip hop artists right now, when you listen to them talk to do interviews with certain people, they've never even listened to a Tupac song. They've never even listened to a Biggie. No. So when they get asked a question like who's your favorite rapper of all time, and they say somebody else,
someone in the last 10 years probably.
Yeah. And they get jumped on for it, but then they have to explain to themselves like, "Hey, like I didn't grow up in that era."
Yeah,
like,
this is all I know.
Right. So I always wonder where music's going to fall in a certain time period, especially like the stuff we grew up with listening to, and I'm interested to see. Like, I don't want to get older, but I'm kind of interested to
see. I want to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, what do you think of the, I don't know, quote unquote SoundCloud rap?
Man, I'm a fan. I'm not. I can't.
Like who?
Man, there's now you're gonna ask me like who, but I'm not gonna remember names. But there's certain songs.
I follow World Star on Instagram. I'm up to date.
Yeah, but like I think it's is it Big Baby now? He has the song Shug, which might be one of the number one hip hop songs like this week or like on the charts. But I think it's phenomenal. Like I love the song, and the beat sounds like he made it on PlayStation. Like, it's real simple, but I just, every time I hear the song, I get into it. But also, like, I have to adapt with this music.
Yeah, so does Kiss 95, it's always current.
Right.
They're always playing the top, you know, certain number of tracks. Top 40, so, I mean, they're always current, so that's some that they'll, you know, always stay relevant.
But as a DJ, like, I'm still in the bars and the clubs where we first originally met.
Yeah.
I have to stay relevant no matter what. And yep. I have to meet that balance throughout the night of watching the crowd and playing the stuff that we grew up with and mixing in this new stuff like the Travis Scotts, the Kendrick Lamars, mm-hmm. and the J. Coles and stuff like that.
Yeah, those guys I think are good. And then there's like guys like what is your opinion of like Lil Pump or guys like that and that level?
So those guys, if you can put out a song that just gets me going, I'm a fan.
That's it, yeah.
I am not looking at you to blow me away lyrically. There's no way I'm going to sit down and listen to, like, these guys and just be like, okay, lyrically, he's phenomenal. But if your beat and the words can get me in a mood and then I can use it for work later,
even if it's a mumble rap.
Exactly.
Because if the beat's there, the beat's there.
Yeah, but even the Migos. Like, nobody, like, the Migos get criticized for their music all the time, but they are phenomenal artists at the end of the day.
Do they produce their own tracks, or do they?
I don't think they produce a lot, like, all of it.
Yeah.
They might do some of it, but then again, like, I don't do my research in these groups.
Yeah.
Like I used to when I was growing up, like sitting down with magazines and checking things out online.
So
and,
different.
And reading everything. Now it's just like you said, like Kiss is playing this song. I need it for DJing. World Star premieres a song, or like even the services I use to download my music.
I mean, no matter what,
if it's on the charts,
yeah,
I'm gonna grab it and have it, and
you're up to date no matter what.
So, it's interesting. Like, I know people our age don't like it, and they stick to what we grew up with and everything. But at the same time, it's like, I've gone along with it, and I don't mind it, man. Some of the stuff, like Post Malone, that album was phenomenal from beginning to end. Like, it was just, like, he had nothing but hits.
The latest one?
Yeah.
What is it, Billboard? What is it called?
Beer
Bongs and something?
Yeah.
When I say Billboard, I knew it had a B in it.
Yeah, maybe it is Beer Bong and Billboard.
I remember I discovered Post Malone just, like, on my own from, like, related track. You might like this, like, on Spotify. And I'm like, who's this guy? And then I didn't really like say that publicly because it didn't reflect my age. Yeah. But there's a lot of these newer guys that like Post Malone is one of them that I can just. And then I found out he's like 21.
Yeah. And yeah. But it's stuff like some of that. Some of it just can't be denied. Some of it's going to be what moves, what progresses the art further.
Yeah.
And you can't deny it no matter what anybody says. So I'm just interested at the when all is said and done, where things fall as music progresses along and crosses over and things like that.
Yeah, I think when I listen to older songs, it's not like I could listen to an old song that I don't necessarily love the song, but it just is like, just nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I remember this one.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't roll down my windows and blast it.
Yeah, you might roll them
like,
up a little bit.
Those are my windows up.
You're like,
windows up
put
songs.
This AC on the floor and roll these windows up real quick for a second. Yeah. I don't want anybody to know that I'm listening to Blue.
Listen to this and singing it as loud as I can at the same time.
But yeah, there's definitely those songs where you remember where you were when you heard it.
Yep.
And what was going on. And maybe you just were enjoying it with the vibe that you were with.
Yeah.
But it never, like, there's no sentimental value to it. Like, it's not something that you would put, like, in a playlist.
Sometimes it's just the vibe of it. Yeah. Like, there's bands that are new, but they're making songs that sound like the 80s. And I don't know why, but I've been listening to songs like that, like synth waves type, or retro wave is, like, some other kind of titles of that genre. But, and for the longest time, I hated 80s music. And now, like, I'm, like, playing some tracks where it just, you know, if it just has, like, gets my foot tapping, I'm, like, I'm down with it. So it's, like.
Yeah.
And so you DJed at clubs, too, then?
Yeah.
Downtown?
I've been doing that for over 15 years now.
Yeah, so, man. Let's see. So that would be on Chippewa or around there?
You name it.
You've been
it.
There?
Yeah.
You name so it. Chippewa is so Native American.
We're so progressive.
That's the main strip of bars and clubs in Buffalo.
At one time it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been down there at night in probably at least 10 years.
Yeah.
No, it was, probably more than that.
Yeah. When I first started, they would have to shut the street down. And it was all bars and nightclubs from beginning to almost like from one end to the other. Let's say like from Franklin where Soho is to Delaware where when I first started was Quote.
Quote. And, I remember Quote.
Yeah. And up and down the street. And then now it's a lot of it is more restaurants. There's a couple nightclubs, a few bars. And,
then
it's
Delaware North shot up right near there, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of new stuff down there.
It's changed a lot, but it still has its reputation as one of the places to go if you're going to go out on the weekends.
Yeah.
Allen Street's a lot busier, popular now than it was. Well, I can't say than it was because I've always been working on the weekends, so it's hard for me to get out. But I had, for the past 5 years, I had been working at a bar on Allen, and I saw how busy that street got. So, and Hurdle's obviously picked up too, or right up like a block and a half up from Hurdle. And that nightlife has picked up with bars, restaurants, and stuff like that too. So,
So maybe not so much now, but I mean, when you'd be down there, would you be somewhat jealous of everyone having so much fun, or were you? Is it always fun for you to play music?
Yeah, dude, it's.
I feel like I'd be like, I think that I would be like, all right, everyone's gonna love this. No. I got my own mix. I know what songs I want to listen to.
That's one of the first lessons I learned as a DJ is not everybody likes the song you and your homies like.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't just throw it on and think it's gonna crush because when your dance floor clears, that's the worst feeling in the world, and it's hard to get back from that. Like, you're crushed.
Especially like a club that plays current music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If that happens in a club, that's that's got to be tough.
So now is now that I've been doing it for so long, and you figure out the balance of how the night works, especially in a city like Buffalo, where the nightlife starts at 10 but doesn't end till 4.
That's
so
right.
As a DJ showing up 4? At 10, it's still 4.
Still 4 in the morning that when shut down the bars.
So when you show up at 10. You're not going to jump into your hottest stuff because nobody's coming out until at least 12 or 1.
Yeah, so I remember getting ready, like, oh, okay, we're going to pregame before we go out. Okay, what time do you want to pregame? 11.
Yes, yeah. And then because you might get dressed at midnight time. And then make your way out by 1.
And nowadays, if it's 11 and I'm awake, that's a feat in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so, man. But now, I have to figure out how to fill this time so I'm not playing the hottest stuff. I don't like playing songs twice. Some other DJs can knock yourself out. Like,
does that happen in a club?
Yes, absolutely.
I can't even think of. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was probably drinking and stuff and wouldn't notice, but I wouldn't. I don't think I've ever.
Yeah,
nobody, been at a, like, especially like a dance club. Yeah. Or like where there's a bigger dance floor. Or, hear a song twice.
When it's the hottest song out, nobody notices, nobody cares or says anything that if you play it more than once.
They probably get pumped anyway.
Right. But I'm just the type of guy where I feel out the crowd and I want to play it once and I want it to hit and that's it.
Do you use the mic in clubs?
I used to. I don't anymore.
No.
It's as a
hype,
DJ.
Hype
no,
up.
here's the issue, and this is gonna be.
You were like, you know who I am.
No.
Put your arms outstretched like gladiator.
Here's the problem: is if you bring the mic with you, at one point you're gonna be like, all right, we want to give a shout out to Micah celebrating his birthday tonight. Thanks for stopping out. Blah blah blah. Now you have a line from your DJ booth of every single person whose birthday it is that night. And now you have to say every single person's name or congratulations to Carrie. It's her bachelorette.
Yeah.
It's her last single night out, fellas. Let's get her some drinks. And, dude, it never stops.
And everyone's hammered. So they're like, do you ever have people that, like, can I hold the mic? I want to say something.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my God, how annoying. Yeah.
I had a couple weeks ago, this guy wanted a mic to sing happy birthday to a girl whose birthday it was.
Yeah.
And I didn't have one. And he told me, he goes, just shut the music off. I'll get everybody to do it.
Oh, God.
And I go, you want me to kill the music?
How old
was
this guy?
I have no idea. In this club, you want me to shut this music down just so you can sing happy birthday to one person?
Man.
I can't do it. And then you got to sit there and be like, how is he going to react to that? Is he going to get testy? Is he going to is he going to threaten me? Is he just going to walk away? Do I need security? Like, it's wild when you get a drunk person who, like, when they think everything should stop for them.
Yeah.
So, especially bachelorette parties. If you see me in the club, ladies, DJing, just know that I am not on your side. I am not a fan.
Like, look at our straws. They look like penises.
It's not your night. There's 200 other people. There's 200 other people. There's 8 of you.
Why does bachelorette parties do that?
Everything
penis.
Yeah.
Like a big balloon, the straws.
Yeah, man. I don't get it. Dudes are so chill.
You know how they have they'll have checklists?
Yes.
And they go around, we got to do a checklist, not a scavenger hunt, but a checklist. I was in Rumors in Canada.
I know what you're going to say.
And
I think.
I don't think you do. this is an actual story that I witnessed, something that I witnessed.
Okay.
On their checklist, it had and I said, have a guy moon you. So okay. The guy does it, and then security grabs him and kicks him out of the club and pulls his pants down. He's like, no, I was doing the check. I was doing the checklist. And all the girls, you know how the girls are just probably just screaming like, woo!
Well, what I thought you were going to say, which is almost along the line, is on one of the checklists was get a guy's underwear. Uh-huh. And they came into the DJ booth and were like, since you're covered, can we have your underwear?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, absolutely not.
Like, I didn't know if you were going to say not or not just no. now. I thought you were going to say absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not without me running these under the sink. No, and I'm just joking. Yeah. But, why can't it just be simple? Just get together, go out, have some drinks, enjoy your night, man. And move on. We'll move off the bachelorette topic or whatever, but just a couple weeks ago, right down Franklin near Chippewa, they were on the pedal tour. On the back of a pedal tour was a blow-up doll with the hanging off.
Right.
And I'm like, there are still families walking around.
I don't get it. I just got out of dinner,
and there's a little kid who's about to be like, Dad, what's that?
What's that?
Yeah, and it's just like, get it together.
I don't get the obsession with it.
I don't know. You're married.
We didn't go through any of that.
No, but what was your bachelor?
Didn't even do it.
You didn't do one?
We didn't. Did I have? No, I didn't have a bachelor party. She didn't have a bachelorette party. We got married in a municipal building in Kenmore. We just did, all right, it was like a week before. We're like, why don't we just go there? Because we were trying to plan our wedding, and we're like, all right, do we want to do it small? Do we want to do it big? So once you start trying, like, well, let's try to do it medium. Once you start trying to do a medium,
nope.
You're like, well, if you invite that person, you got to invite that. And then it costs this, costs that. So we just like, all right, let's get married. And then, but like 6 months later, we had a reception like at Salvatore's. So we just did it that way. Like, nice. We didn't have a massive wedding, and doing the reception was easy because you didn't have to worry about ceremony, all the stuff that I witness when I'm a photographer at weddings, and I see all, like, the whole timeline. Like, and it's insane. Stress. Like, it's a long day for me, like, running around with a picture, but, I mean, obviously it's a long day for the, you know, the bridal party, getting ready from 9 a.m., and then hopefully they're still on the dance floor at 11 p.m. when you are the DJ.
Right. Yeah. And if they want to close early, no problem with me. No,
like I was saying at Eric's wedding, when people will be like, hey, we extended the venue for another hour, so let's keep it going.
Yeah.
But usually if they do that, then things are going well.
Right. Exactly.
Which is good. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
But downtown is probably, you know, obviously a completely different vibe.
Yeah. But,
Have you ever had equipment damage? Like, what's your worst experience with someone? Or, like, you had to have someone removed from your area?
There's always somebody that has to get removed. And I'm usually not that guy. But at some point, you just have to protect yourself. This wasn't a downtown situation. This was an Allen Street situation, and not at the regular place that I used to DJ at. It was, I was filling in for somebody, and a person came up to me and was like, I want your microphone because I want to propose to my girlfriend. And I was like, I don't have a microphone. Right. And they were like, why don't you have a microphone? I was like, because I don't need one here. But do what you got to do, man.
Question your job.
Just do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And the person's like, well, I want everybody to witness it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure nobody cares but the two of you and maybe your other
friends.
What time
of night was it?
It was around like 11:30-ish, okay. Like early. Like, you could tell they were out beforehand.
Yeah.
So the guy like ended up threatening me. And he's like, if you don't, you know, do this so I could do this, blah, right. blah. And I just turn around and I go, look through the window. And I go, I open that door, 6 bouncers are going to come in here and take care of you. And I go, so no, I'm not going to do anything for your proposal because nobody cares.
Right.
And he just sat there and just walked away. And it was just like, I was like,
I wonder if he ever proposed.
He did. I watched it.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did. Still did. He did, yeah. I was going to say, I wonder if he was
ring,
like.
No ring, nothing. He was just hammered.
So embarrassing.
So he just went down on one knee, and then he went around everybody who was in the area and was like, she said yes. And people were like, awesome. Like, okay. Good job. But nobody cared.
Like, he probably said, And then someday I'm going to get you the ring you deserve.
Yeah, I'm going to work real hard.
Yeah, I'm going to work extra hard. And it's like, what was that movie, Knocked Up, where he's like, there's nothing in the box. Yeah. Well, I'm going to put something in the box at some point.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my God. Yeah, downtown is a trip.
The worst thing was somebody reached up and grabbed the top of my laptop and pulled it down.
Yikes.
And I literally...
I would have flipped. It's like someone grabbed my camera.
I swung a punch and just hit him in their wrist.
Yeah.
And they just started shaking their hand. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, that's my computer.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I thought it was something else. And security saw it and just walked them out.
Do you ever get people that are like, yeah, I DJ too?
Because
I get that when I'm photographing, I'm like, oh, what kind of camera are you using? What lens is that? I'm like, it's this. Oh, yep.
What kind of lens? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm working with a Nikon. One?
Yeah.
And, you know.
You don't mind Rebel. If I take pictures right behind you, do you? I'm like, yeah, you kind of do mind. That's the worst.
No, DJs come up all the time. I'm cool with it. I have no issues with it. It's when you start taking pictures of my music that drives me nuts.
Pictures of you?
Yeah. So, like, a lot of people will hear a mix that you have of a song and they don't have. So, they'll come up and take a picture. So, later, like, the next day, they can go and add it to your library. And to me, it's like, if you like it, ask me. I'll email it to you. Yeah. I'll send you the MP3. I don't care.
I've asked the DJ, I go, what song is this? And it was Alice DJ.
Okay. I know the name.
I can't think of the song. But this was at Daily Planet.
Oh, my God.
Daily Planet.
Well,
and
you really just sold us under with that one.
1999, I think.
Thursday night or Saturday night?
Saturday night. Fight night.
That's hilarious.
Did you ever go to Anaconda?
No.
There would be fights there all the time. They'd have nights where it would be like dollar drinks. And so it was just all these kids, and like, there'd be fights like every time I went. I never got too involved.
Better off alone.
Better. I think it was. Oh man, was it that? Yeah, I think it was.
You'd be better.
No, it was enough. DJ Launch.
Now you're making stuff up. People are not going to appreciate this segment of the podcast. No, not at all.
Oh, man, I should have wrote that down.
No, I'm sorry. It was Wednesday nights for Daily Planet.
Wednesday and Saturdays. Yep, yeah. Wednesday and Saturdays.
Because, man, did we ever make that drive from Medina on Wednesday nights?
Yeah.
Crushing 40s on 104 all the way to the bridge.
I can't believe the things that we did. Like, people would just have drinks. Throw the can out the window.
Yep.
Like, nowadays, I'd be like, are you out of your mind?
I would, if somebody did that in my car I would pull over and kick them out.
I'd be like, get out.
Uber.
I'm like, don't even bring it, even if it's a sealed container, don't bring it in here because you're just going to open it up. I can't believe the things that we did.
You want me to go get you one?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to grab a whiskey. So
Daily Planet.
Yeah, so Daily Planet. So when I was, once everyone in Buffalo turned 19, that's the legal age to drink in Canada, so people just head over the border and go to the clubs in Niagara Falls, and that's where we went, and people would go, and the bridge on the way back would be packed. It was a madhouse, but once you turn 19, you were quote-unquote legal to drink because you just go across the border. I think I got in a car accident in Canada. I think I rear-ended someone. Do you know what a K car is? A Reliant, a Chrysler. It's like real boxy. It's a sedan.
I
had a powder blue one, and I was just starting to say that I rear-ended someone on my way to Daily Planet.
Really?
Like, just really extremely minor. And I can't even think of how that ended up. But because I was in another country. And I can't even remember how it worked out, but I remember.
At least it was on the way.
Yeah, at least it was on the way. Yeah.
That's bullet bourbon, by the way.
Bullet just bourbon. So I actually want to do a podcast about like whiskeys and bourbons and stuff.
I would love to do it, but I have a great story about Daily Planet on a Wednesday night, going up with a bunch of buddies from back home, and two of us stayed at the club. Two of them wanted to go to Sundowner. So the ones who drove wanted to go to Sundowner. So
Sundowner is a
strip club.
Strip club.
A fine establishment, by the way.
I've never been there.
I've been there. It's great. And so So the club closes, Daily Planet closes at 2 as usual, and I go outside and they're nowhere to be seen. So I'm calling them. No, it's going straight to voicemail at the time, like whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm outside at Daily Planet for 2.5 hours. No jacket, nothing, in the middle of winter.
Queen Street.
Yep. So I start walking. Like, I'm just going to start walking and, like, freezing cold.
So glad you said this. Keep going. I have a story right after this. Right. Go ahead.
So I'm walking, and all of a sudden, some dude just pulls over, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I go, "My friends left. They never came back." I was like, "I'm just trying to walk to the nearest hotel." He's like, "You're going to die out here." If he's like, "Just get in."
Middle of winter?
Yes. Freezing cold. No jacket.
Yeah.
Abercrombie button down at the time. Yeah. Whatever. You know,
structure.
The usual.
Remember structure?
Thing. Yeah. You know, rest in peace, structure. Yeah,
R.I.P. in peace, structure.
So he takes me to he goes, "This is the cheapest one." He's like, "Good luck." So I pay for a hotel room. I go inside. I call my sister. She's going to come pick me up in the morning. So my sister walks in the room in the morning. She goes, "What do you have the heat on?" I was like in hypothermia.
Oh, my God.
And the room was over 100. And she turns the heat down. You
got to warm up.
Yeah. So I jump in the shower, a hot shower. She takes me home. I call my boys. I'm like, "What happened?" He goes, "There was a roadblock on the way back to Daily Planet.
Oh,
and they
man.
Impounded my truck."
Oh.
He goes, "Can you take me back to get my car?" I go, "No, you just left me stranded up there, and I had to pay $100 for a hotel room. I'm not giving you a ride." And I hung up on him. That was a wild night.
Oh,
dude,
man.
Wild stuff happened at that place. To and from that place.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah. I was like, when you stepped away, I was talking about how crazy the bridge was, like coming back. Like,
yes.
The bridge was so backed up. People would be outside. People would be rolling down, talking to other people.
You would see the same people you just saw there that were drunk getting out of cars and
like
jumping in other cars. And it's like, you're at the bridge.
2-3 in the morning. Like, okay. So this is, I got two follow-up stories. One about the bridge and the border. When people say, or when people ask someone, they go, "Hey, what's the craziest thing you've ever done?" Like that typical question, like at a party, whatever it might be. If someone asks me that, I have the answer. So when you go across the border, they look in the backseat, and if you have too many people in the car, they're gonna, you know, do something. I don't know what. I have never encountered, like, okay, you got too many people in the backseat. But we had 3 people in the backseat. We had someone in the front, someone driving, and so we needed more room, but we all needed to go. We had 1 extra person. So I'm like, "Yo, I'll go in the trunk."
No.
I swear to God. So this is 1999 or 2000. I went in the trunk of a car over the border.
Oh my God.
An international border from Canada to the US in the trunk. Obviously right now I'm like, that's insane. But keep in mind it was pre 9/11. So the border was a little more lax and it wasn't as strict.
Right, right.
So they go through, nothing happens, you know, obviously they're not checking trunks. And then we pull over up there and I get out and I just squeeze into the back seat. So
dude,
when I think about that, that's probably the most insane thing I've ever done in my life.
Did they give you a heads up? Like, "All right, we're about to be up. Don't move."
Oh, no. Yeah, I could hear them.
Yeah.
I could hear the whole thing because it was probably an older car where, sound just traveled through.
You have to turn the volume down.
Yeah, that was
the bridge. So.
I'm getting nervous. So I'm thinking about it.
Is something I would never do.
Like, I remember I was at a work function and like that question came up and I said it and it was all like, you know, professionals. This is like 2 jobs ago, my first office job at this place. And everyone just looking at me like, "You did what?" Like, all respect was lost for me at that point. I'm like, I was 19. It was before 9/11. So I don't know. I wasn't thinking, I guess. Just
dude, that's a phenomenal story. Like, I would never judge you. It's just something that, like, I would never think to be like,
no.
I would rather just stay home and miss that week of the club than to, like, take that chance of all of a sudden the trunk open and being like, what's up?
What would they do?
Oh,
I mean, is
done.
That smuggling?
You're done. Like, they take you to the side. They
put I'd
you
be
in
done.
The,
yeah.
Yeah. You'd
so,
be in the system.
My other story about walking around. It's a more humbling story, but I was out with my boys, and just something came over me where I'm like, I just don't want to be out right now. And so they're all in a bar. I'm like, I'm going to go outside and make a phone call. So I'm on Chippewa, and I lived I grew up in a house in Tonawanda, city of Tonawanda.
Okay.
And it was on a street off of Delaware Ave. So I go outside. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be here anymore. I didn't have, I had like $2 on me. I'm like, I think I'm just going to go home. So I start walking down Delaware at like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm drunk. I didn't have money for, well, what then was like a taxi, a cab. Yeah. I didn't want to tell my friends that I wanted to leave because they'd be like, no, you got to stay out. And so I walked all the way. It took 5 hours.
I was just going to say.
It took 5 hours. I walked all the way home.
Oh, my God.
So on the way there, I'm like, okay, I'm drunk. I need to like sober up a little bit. So I took the money that I had. I went into like a gas station, whatever was open. I buy a loaf of bread.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, this will help me sober up. So I'm walking down the street, drunk. Eating slices of bread out of this bag. And so I'm walking and I see like a bum and we look at each other and I'm like, I give him a nod like we understand our struggle.
We're on the same boat, man. Yeah.
I'm like, yo, it's just another night, my man. And then I left the bread on top of a mailbox. Like the public, the big blue ones.
Yeah.
And I'm like, someone will use it. I thought I was giving back to the community. But I remember that I left and I walked all the way home. And I, as I'm walking up into my driveway, the sun's coming up. And I'm like, that was a long walk.
Yeah,
I
was
like,
your friends are probably already home.
Dude, they didn't even know. I think like literally like a month ago, I told my friend, but he's like, oh, I don't remember that. And I'm like, okay. But I remember texting with him with my Razor. I think I had a Razor phone. And I'm like, yo, I left or something, but I can't believe I just walked all the way home.
I think everybody has that one drunken walk home story where it just makes more sense than anything, but it's the worst idea.
Like, I liked going out, but I don't think I liked it as much as, like, a lot of my friends did. Like, they would drink a lot and, like, okay, everyone do it. I couldn't stand the people like, yo, you're doing a shot. You're doing a shot. And they're pointing out, like, okay. And so, like, everyone would have the shot. And it'd be like Southern Comfort usually. Ugh. And it would be room temperature. And then everyone take a shot. And I would just just dump it on the ground. I'm like, oh, I just can't do it. I just wasn't into it as much as like my friends were. So I was more into, I mean, I liked like dance music and stuff, but I started getting into techno in like 98, 99. I went to like raves, I guess you would call them. Yeah. So I listened to a lot of techno. I still kind of do, but
I'm a shot guy because I've been DJing so long, and that's just the easiest way for friends to drink with me.
Yeah.
So as a DJ, it was like, I would start off the night with maybe a beer, and that I would have that same beer for the majority of the night because friends would just be like, here, let's do a shot. And then it'd be one after the other, and then that's just how my nights go. So, and you can't say no to one person. As a DJ,
you can't say
no because they're going to see you do it with somebody else and get offended. Yeah.
Did you ever bartend?
No, thank God.
Because they get bought shots all the time, I'm sure.
But bartenders are slick. Some of them keep a bottle of water.
Ooh.
And then so it looks like they're drinking vodka.
Like,
and
yep, I'll do one of these.
They're just, or they'll like.
Because you know there's some guy that's like, hey, pretty lady, I'm going to buy you a shot too. Yep, you and my friends.
That guy that always that guy, thinks like he's the first one to hit on the hot bartender.
Yeah, that has too much cologne on.
Yeah.
And his hair is slicked back. He's probably 47. He's got no wedding ring on, but there's a tan line there.
Yeah.
This guy's a creep.
Yeah.
Can't stand creeps.
But, it's just one of those things where it's like, even to this day, like, I just, like, so many people come up and they just offer me, like, can I get you this? Can I get you that? And it's like, let me get you.
Did you ever have, like, were you working, like, just nonstop weekends? Like, did you ever get a chance to just go out to be out?
No. It was,
have you ever been? Okay, go ahead.
It would either be a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Wednesday through Saturday back when I first started.
Have you ever gotten a fight downtown?
Have I? No, not at all.
All right, so I got one more story, and then we'll wrap up.
We're just getting started.
I know.
Can this be 005 part one?
Yeah, we got to do it. We'll definitely do more. But I got a really good story. Do you know, so a friend of mine, I worked with that guest named Brandon Trusso. Do you know that name? He's a comedian, but I worked with him at Gas. I used to work at Gas in the Galleria Mall. And
for the discount.
40%.
There you go.
It was wild.
Friends and family, bro.
Oh, yeah. And we were at Cloud Nine on Main Street. Yep. Yeah. So that back place Main was a little was sketchy. Wild. Yeah, it was a little dicey. It wasn't as dicey as it is.
Well, no, I don't know. It's not even open anymore.
No, it's not even open anymore. Sure. But we're walking out of the club, and there's a guy out there on the phone. And as we're walking by, Brandon just looks at him, and he's just a troublemaker. And he's like, "Nice phone." And then I'm like, "Why would you say that? Like, what are you doing?" And the guy turns around and goes, "What did you say?" And then he's on the phone. He's like, "Hold on, babe. These guys are talking to me." So they start talking to each other, like, "What? What?" Like, starting to escalate. And I'm just standing there, like, just, like, kind of, like, smirking. Like, why is this guy doing this? There's one guy. There's, like, four of us. Nothing's going to happen. All of a sudden, I open my eyes, and I'm on the pavement.
No way.
I got cold cocked by that guy talking to my friend. Chipped my front tooth. I'm like, what is going on? I open my eyes and I see the guy like fighting other people or like my friends. Uh-huh. And I'm like, what is going on? So that all took place. And they're like, "Mike, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Dude, I chipped my front tooth." And they're like, "All right, we're still going out to another bar." I'm like, "I don't want to do that." No, I'm not into it at all. And So my wild. Other friend followed that guy to another bar and started with him. That guy took two full beer bottles, hits the guy in front of the face and the back of the head. There's blood everywhere. He goes to the hospital. They're like, "Michael, we got to go see our friend at the hospital. He's like in a bed right now."
Oh, the dude that knocked you out hit your friend with the beer bottles.
Yeah, hit my friend with beer bottles. So we go to the hospital. And I'm like, you know, I had been drinking. I got punched in the face. So we're sitting there. And all of a sudden, I'm like, "Yo, I feel a little dizzy." I'm like, "Where's the bathroom? I thought I was going to throw up." And I start walking. And then all of a sudden, I open my eyes and I'm on the ground.
Again?
Again. And I'm like, and people around me, like, they're like, "You just passed out and walked into the wall face first." And I'm like, "What? I must have blacked out or something."
Right. Or and, concussed. You're yeah, probably concussed.
So they
from
put
the
me
hit.
Up in a bed and gave me graham crackers and peaches. I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yo, we'll have to do this again.
For sure.
Thanks for coming on.
I know you had other questions about the radio station and stuff like that, but this is what happens in podcasts.
Dude, I know.
You go down one trail and.
Yeah, you just follow a rabbit
the
hole.
The fork in the road, man.
All right, man. Well,
great.
Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Thanks for everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Later.
You have tuned into the microphone.